all this leverage that Facebook provided and never used because it's just so hard to explain to your boss. Well, now you're going to get a space shuttle and you want to control it by just pressing one red button. Maybe in the future AI can help us to do this. We already do it in marketing.
Welcome to AI for Business Growth, the podcast from pioneering artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all business people, from startup entrepreneurs right through to Fortune 500 companies. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech to help you and your business to navigate through and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow businesses.
Businesses think they know who their target audience is, but they have it in a very general way. How can they get much more precise in actually doing their targeting of their customers?
Well, in modern systems, targeting is done by artificial intelligence and machine learning. Mm-hmm. So Facebook, in fact, goes through all the Facebook users, profiling them by using machine learning, computer vision, NLP, other techniques, and comes up with a lot of targeting, like a laundry list, that you can use to target your ads. The funny thing is that most of marketers, 90% of marketers, use only 10% of that list.
Interesting.
Because that 10% are human interpretable and explainable. And the rest of the things like the ring, the microphone, somebody's face, chair, well, all those things, iPad that we have here, right?
Yeah.
All those things are very hard to correlate to a particular marketing plan. And when you are in a brand setting, you are in an agency setting, you just don't want to be bothered, ignore it. Just why would you want to make it troubles for yourself? Later, I'll give you a few examples of that.
Okay.
So that's why precision targeting is a problem of technology. Yes, it's very hard to find those right categories out of really big list, but it's also a little bit related to how the marketing, digital marketing business is processed and executed nowadays.
Yeah.
It's just too hard to explain certain targeting options and decisions, so human marketers just prefer to avoid it when possible.
Do you have an example of where you were doing a project, for example, where something came up that was hard to explain to a human?
Oh, yeah. We found once that a diaper brand can generate 3 times cheaper ads by targeting those ads via inflatable boats. Boats, you know? Using to do
fishing,
rowing, whatever.
Yeah.
How would you explain that? You are a marketer, how would you explain that?
You would probably go with that same example where, I don't know if it was Target or someone, but someone noticed with AI that beer sales and diapers, nappies, correlated very highly. So if you were looking at inflatable boats, you may think, well, maybe it's something to do with the fathers, but I can't think of an exact reason.
That example was taken from my shopping list, probably.
Maybe, yes.
I've got 2 daughters, so I can relate to
you
very much.
You go for the inflatable boats and the beer.
Well, so far I'm doing beer, didn't do the inflatable boats yet, but who knows? Maybe that's the next step. So the fun thing is that our data scientists came to the team who were very much busy with these ideas. This beer example is very famous in the industry. So
They
came to our team and they were thinking, and looking at the data and thinking and looking at the data. And what they found that their diapers on the images, very often labeled by computer vision that we have as boats. Why so? Well, but just because neural networks that have convolutions that trying to recognize different shapes, they treat balls to be something very similar to inflated diapers.
Well, I guess they both do inflate.
Well, yeah. My brain and head inflate that moment. And then when this kind of relationship gets found, and essentially both Facebook And another AI system that is on the market is kind of making the same mistake at the same time, then you are ending up getting ads run through inflatable boards, targeting and generating 3 times cheaper results. One of our marketers who was working on a brand side, he quit his job, he joined our team because he said, I was trying to optimize his ads for 3 years, didn't get any results. I really want to understand how it works. So he joined our team. He's running one of the operations department at the moment. And this goes on and on. You could look even for some examples that we had in our university research, a place where I'm leading the research group.
Yeah.
A few years back, there was a paper that we published. And this paper was about predicting somebody's marital status from your, guess what, Twitter timeline. Try to figure out whether this person is married or single based on how he or she tweets.
Okay.
And the model was very precise, 86% precise.
It's very interesting.
So it was applied on a very famous American politician, the one that was winning elections before the current president. And that guy was predicted as single by the model that is 86% accurate. He was predicted as single.
Interesting.
Journalists, pick it up.
Yeah.
There were a lot of articles before that when he didn't hold his wife's hand and the pictures coming out from the plane and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then here you go, AI predicts that he is single even though he is married. So the Daily Mail, the New York Post, Times have posted, even AI thinks that Donald Trump is single. No wonder he is getting such kind of, you know, results and news about him. But now the question is whether the model was right or wrong. And I would argue the model was right because it has predicted his psychographics rather than what's written in his passport and everybody else know about him. And these psychographics also can be witnessed in the TV screens every day.
Yeah.
So everything starts matching.
Yes.
Diapers start get matching to the inflatable boats.
Yeah.
And presidents start matching to single profiles even they are married.
That's true.
That's a new world of AI. That's how decisions are made on the Facebook side now. But then why don't you make decisions the same way on the marketing side? That's probably the path for your efficiency in digital advertising and precision advertising, as you say.
It's amazing. With the diapers, for example, what kind of improvement, like what percentage improvement in sales did you get when you moved to inflatable diapers?
Well, that's just one cherry-picked example, but overall last year, I think it was about 38% better as compared to what a human can achieve.
That's amazing.
20% we can guarantee, and pretty much
you guarantee 20% improvement with the AI.
Well, we can if you have enough historical ads that were run in your account.
How many do you need? How much data do you need for that?
We're asking for 6 months historical ads to guarantee.
Yeah,
you could just start from scratch. That's fine, but for us to guarantee, you need about 6 months of ads. Supposed to spend about 10k USD per month, so the volume is there.
Yeah.
If this all ticks and you are in B2C,
yeah,
I'll explain you later why. Then we can guarantee 20% improvement, and 20% usually covers all the costs that you need to bear when you apply an AI in your business.
So you said you'll explain later. Let's look at that now. The B2C versus B2B. Could you explain why it's better with the B2C?
That's about the volume.
Okay.
The B2B, and well, I don't really like this B2C versus B2B split in effect, because there are Cs that have very unique and expensive product. Well, I wouldn't even go to Ferraris. I would just say Range Rovers, Porsches, just like in automobile industry.
Yeah.
You could sell Volkswagens and Opels much easier than Ferraris, Porsches, and Land Rovers because the pool of audience is much bigger in the first case than the second.
So how big a pool do you need for the AI to work really effectively? Well, there's a lot of people that buy red jerseys.
For the market that, let's say, have about 10 million people on it on Facebook, if you're talking about Facebook, you probably want to have at least 30% of them be potential audience. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're selling burgers or toys or diapers or something like this, that's going to work in a pharmacy. That's going to be drugs that everybody is using. But if you probably want to sell some chemotherapy or something like that, those probably will be less relevant.
So for over-the-counter drugs in a pharmacy, no problem.
Drugs.
But of course, yeah, I mean, if it's a prescription drug, that's a different
thing. And then also think about how these drugs are usually distributed. So in pharma industry, some simple painkillers get advertised a lot.
Yeah.
But when you go for something that you need prescription, very often there are direct deals between hospitals and pharmaceutical companies. So in those cases, those B2B, you touch, you don't touch. Nothing you can do with Facebook. All decisions are made.
It's also illegal outside of America and New Zealand to do advertising in public for drugs that are prescribed.
No, I think it's right. That is a correct movement. I think that's how it should be.
Yeah, that's how it is. So tell me, what kind of information does the AI use then? We talked before how the chair, the microphone, the iPad, or there's all these extraneous bits. The AI uses every single bit of the information to do this targeting, right?
Yes, and systems like Facebook and Google actually helps quite a bit in this.
Okay.
So just look what they monitor.
Yeah.
They look, first of all, on the content that we post, social network.
Yeah.
Let's say we post a picture of cats and dogs, and all these things get detected and assigned to us as our interest for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
At least on Facebook is like that. But except for that, when we cross particular timeline, we might stop on a certain image or video. We might play video for 30 seconds to the end or just start and stop it immediately, right? So all this non-verbal, verbal of course, but kind of non-verbal behavior and cues can and would be recorded and can be used as features, as a descriptors of the data that can be later leveraged to do better decisions about us, about our interests in psychographics. You're going to further and you will see that actually we also have our pixels installed everywhere. Google Analytics, Facebook pixels, what this thing is used for. Well, it's used to run more effective ads, yes, but it's also very powerful feedback source of what people doing in other companies' websites. So if you carry cookies, you're coming back to the same website, Facebook remembers you, Facebook knows which websites you went, how many times you spent there, what kind of pages you were interested in. Facebook can profile that particular page as well, detect the topics from there, profile the images, detect the objects inside there, find attention maps, convolutional layers, which I'm not going to go too deep, but the thing is that there's a load of information can come even from there. So Facebook is not just Facebook. Facebook is Facebook. And all the pixels installed everywhere.
Yeah.
And all this data can be, of course, later used to understand who you are, to show you better content. That's the consumer story.
Yeah.
But what else it can be used for? All that can be also used to show you better ads and to let the advertiser to do much more precise targeting. But then advertisers go and to sell diapers, target diapers, to sell beer, target beer, to sell cars, choose interest car and target cars. So all this work, all this leverage that Facebook provided and never used because it's just so hard to explain to your boss. Why would you use inflatable balls to tag your diapers, right?
Yeah.
Well, now you're going to get a space shuttle and you want to control it by just pressing one red button. Maybe in the future, AI can help us to do this. We already do it in marketing.
Yeah.
But unlikely there will be a space shuttle that you're going to control just by one button, right?
Not yet.
But that's what's trying to do.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work well, why you're surprised. Of course it wouldn't work.
Yeah. Interesting. So what would be the overall biggest benefit for someone who is trying to target their audience and using AI?
Biggest benefit would be scalability.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest benefit would be also the cost savings. It depends what you want.
Yeah.
It depends on your unit economics. For some businesses, as long as they generate conversions or leads at price X and the quality of the list is Y, they can spend as much as they want, 10K per day or 10K per month or 10K per year. That's all kinds of businesses.
Yeah.
And this all can happen as long as Facebook is big enough in your market.
Yeah.
So that's scalability issue that you want to improve. And if you find more audiences, obviously you can scale bigger because you have a bigger pool that you can buy at particular price you're interested in.
Yeah.
Then of course there's also cost savings that you can achieve, and that will be a different approach. Then rather than buying the whole super huge cake with a lot of cherries on it, why don't you get a very precision knife and you just cut those parts that have cherries and leave everything? Well, not very polite.
Not very.
Well, why would we care if we want to do a good business, right? So Facebook ain't interested to give you the whole pie because you're going to pay for the whole pie.
Yeah.
But why don't you just get those pieces with the cherries?
Yeah. Interesting.
That's why it's called precision marketing. Because you get a very good and sharp knife to do that.
So you were saying before about you would need about 6 months worth of ad data. What about if you were launching a new product? Would you be able to then access 6 months of data from competitors?
You get it from competitors, yeah, of course. Cool. That's how business are doing, right? You have so much data available in a competitive landscape.
Yeah.
And certain data you can just get it, right? Like a follower's particular brand or some analytics or what your competitors are posting.
Yeah.
But there is a new very cool directions that we particularly developing now, and some big five agencies, you know who they are particularly very interested in it. We call it content scoring.
Yeah.
So how does it work? Well, given particular content piece and corresponding targeting, AI tell me how likely this content gonna get higher CTR, lower CTR, or average CTR.
Yeah.
And I can do it for my content, that's fine. That's already useful to manipulate the ads, to redistribute the bits, and doing all those funny stuff you don't want to do by hand, but let some system do it.
Yeah.
But you could do it for your competitors in a very precise fashion. So imagine you are, let's say, McDonald's, you know, all your posts, all your ads, but then you can get in the internet, get to the Facebook ads library and see what is the chance of Burger King's ads to perform good or bad or average.
Yeah.
And you can do it already. And you can not just tell what's the chance of them performing good, but you can also tell what particular part of the image is responsible for this ad to be good or bad. That's
so
called attention. Attention. Of
so the
image.
You can tell from the content, you can tell from the image, maybe even the colors being used.
Colors, shapes.
Shapes, interesting.
Particular parts of it, yeah.
Yeah.
We are in a little bit new era of these neural networks.
Mm-hmm.
So if last time what we were doing, we were detecting shapes and colors, color histogram, shapes, those features called sift scale, invariant feature transforms, technically speaking, and also or lately got convolutions. Convolutions are just like sift, but automatically found shapes in image.
Yeah.
Now we're in a new era. Now we can see conglomerates of pixels or shapes on an image and see what kind of particular role that part of the image plays in predicting that this particular content piece is not going to do well.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
And you can leverage on it, and you can change your content based on it.
So you can predict the elements of the ad that are going to work and not work in advance before testing them. And then you actually, you know, kind of gets rid of A/B testing, doesn't it? You basically can predict, well, this is going to work if we change this, this, and this, and we should get X amount improvement.
And you also know this about your competition.
Yeah.
Just imagine, it's like you're like looking at their ads.
It's really interesting.
And you can further predict potentially the budget, conversion rates, and everything. Facebook already knows all this.
Yeah.
But Facebook is not allowed to give all this information to you. Now you're looking at public content and you can predict it. And by the way, we were doing experiments. We took all our employees who are marketers, most of them are, and they were looking at content and they were grading them from 0 to 10. Whether this content going to be absolutely awful, 5 is just average, closer to 10 is better than average. And we tested that prediction against the model that we built. And the very, very first early version of the model that we used was already more than 2 times better than humans, who are marketers, who are in our industry, who definitely think that they know what kind of content will be better, what kind of content will be worse. With all this knowledge and experience and everything, humans are 2 times worse than the models that's trained from scratch in the big data based on actual performance of the ads.
Interesting. That's amazing.
That's where human better stay aside and manage the AI system rather than trying to do it on behalf.
Is there anything that we've missed in this discussion? Is there anything else that we should get the listeners to think about with AI for precision targeting?
I think there is one important moment that many marketers might not know about, or they kind of sense it, but they cannot really explain and understand and use it in their daily job. And this is about size of the audience. You can buy at a certain price.
Okay.
Let's say you go for the market and you really like strawberries and you get to a particular shop and you see the strawberries here, so nice, and you want to buy a lot, you get all. You go to another shop. Another shop might sell them cheaper, but they might be not as good. Or they might sell it more expensive, and they can be both not as good or better than before. And you have a lot of shops everywhere.
Yeah.
So when you enter this market, if you are in a rush, or if you are following the standard busy way of buying things, you'll just get to the first store and then you buy what they have, and it'll be the most expensive. What you want to do ideally is go through all of them and find all those strawberries that match your price and also the quality standards.
Yeah.
But you most likely would be doing so. So if you get some friend who can do it for you, that'll be the best. Maybe AI friend in the future.
Yeah,
but initial advertising, that's what you already have. So if you target a particular pool of audience, that's not going to be infinite. That's going to be, let's say, 1,000 people who are likely, probabilistically, mathematically speaking, likely to convert at 0.3% chance. Now you want to get a bigger one. They could be more expensive. They could be cheaper than the first audience. But the conversion chance there is, let's say, only 0.2%. Further, further, further. So you might, to the end, just stop buying something completely not efficient because you are targeting them through the audiences that everybody else is targeting, so you're fighting an auction. Or you might find some efficient group, but this efficient group is just too small. How are you navigating all this? How you find this needle in the haystack?
Yeah.
Oh, that's where you want to A/B test a lot and go to the analytics that will help you to figure out what are the audiences inside. But of course, marketers need to know if you want to scale, your cost per result for sure will be growing, as just Facebook's and Google's will not have enough audience for you to sell you at this price.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can actually go from top to bottom of trying to slice this cake in such a way that you can extract the best audiences. Or sometimes you need to go back to basics and start growing your audience, make them more aware, start doing PR, start doing awareness ads. So that sometimes later your customer become more educated, therefore relevant. And also at the same time, hopefully not too many others going to bid for them, so you can purchase them at a lower CPM and your minute economics so much. And then you're going to be efficient in your precision targeting.
It seems like there's so many different elements to take into consideration. It seems kind of silly not to use AI for precision targeting now.
Oh, I always say you need to understand it first. Mm-hmm. That's only you can understand as a marketer. It's not mm-hmm. a rocket science, but there's a lot of criteria indeed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as just like running ad on TV where you cannot control anything. You can control so many things. But disadvantage comes also with quite a bit of requirements in terms of your knowledge. And then, yes, you have this knowledge and you got to use the tools that, by mirroring this knowledge, will eventually bring the result that you want. That's the modern way of running ads, in my opinion.
Yeah. And yeah, I think if you don't do it that way, you won't be able to compete in the new world.
Unfortunately, quite likely.
Mm.
Unless you're really lucky.
Fascinating. Well, thank you so much for your time today. Really,
thanks so
really
much for inviting.
Very interesting.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Business Growth with Dr. Andre Bates. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your business, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating wherever you download your podcasts. For more information on the subjects covered in this episode, links mentioned during the conversation, or to connect with Dr. Andre, click the link in the show notes now. Plus, make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.